practicing humility. Ruben has made a humility practice sheet for all of you. And I want to request you to take this practice sheet and put it into practice today and tomorrow, and then tell me how it worked for you. Yes, we will have a little workshop on this. Now, may I ask you who has not yet received his or her humility practice sheet? Let us count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 9 more copies are required. Dr. Ruben will give you these 9 copies. Let us now, before entering more deeply into our Atmanivedan practice, chant happily Hare Krishna. When one is in Radhadesh and comes from a preaching tour, I have always noted the body and mind totally relax. And one feels really very tired in a nice way. Life is so hectic, and here it seems to move in a different time frame altogether. Is Canada like this a little bit, or different? Different. Also hectic.
The temples in downtown Toronto, right in the center.
Right in the center of everything. Oh, yes. When we think of Srila Prabhupada and his tremendous surrender in going to the Tompkinson Square Park, only with a pair of cartels, no assistance, we really see an example of surrender. In the time after when Prabhupada was in the planet, we would sometimes, in his presence, as his disciples, aim at such situations of surrender and make amazing realizations. For instance, the German Sankirtan devotees sometimes went for 1 month without purchase of any food. Not that they fasted. What we did after Sankirtan was we went to the houses of the people and said, "We are simple Hare Krishna monks. Please supply us with sufficient foodstuffs." People would give us butter, vegetables, milk, fruits and nuts. Much more we would not take to them. So from them we would say we have our dietary regulations and so on. It was amazing how we were taken care of. I sometimes feel that we as devotees must be careful to not aspire to package our life in the cotton swabs of comfortability. We must be ready to surrender. Now, there is a very nice devotee amongst us, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami Prabhu. Yes, correct? He has made, after Prabhupada's disappearance, a very interesting realization, which I would request him to share with us. Please, Krishna Das Prabhu, come into our midst. Come here with your chair, if you don't mind, and speak into the microphones of the world.
Okay, well, just after Srila Prabhupada left, it was 1978, and actually it was just about this time of year, and the first installments of the Planting the Seed were coming out by Satsvarup Maharaj, and we were reading them after Sunday feast, and we were reading that bit about the Srila Prabhupada going to Tompkins Square Park and just sitting down with a pair of cartels, And so the temple president at the time, Rupa Vilas, he said, so why don't we send somebody to a town 200 miles away from the temple, and you just go there with just a pair of cartels, a few Back to Godheads, a Bhagavad Gita, and see what happens, and I'll leave you there for a week. So he sort of looked at me and he said, "You want to go?" And I was like, "Okay." So the next morning after morning program, loaded me in the car, and it was just a bag like the book bags that you have there, and I had about 25 Back to Godhead magazines, one Bhagavad Gita, three sets of Japa beads in case I met anybody who wanted to chant Japa, mm-hmm. and a pair of cartels, and I got dropped off in this town, and I started to I just started doing Harinam by myself up and down the streets of this town.
Wonderful.
and sometimes people would stop me and say, "What are you doing?" And I would talk to them a little bit, and occasionally I, you know, somebody would give some money and I'd give them a Back to Godhead or something. And then it came time for lunch and I went to a health food store. I begged something from the health food store, and they said, "Well, sure, take whatever you want." And so I took some trail mix and some yogurt and stuff, and so Krishna just was providing totally. And so I kept doing Harinam the rest of the day, and then the evening was coming and I had still had nowhere to stay, and I was wondering, what am I going to do? And just almost as soon as I started thinking, what am I going to do, this Indian man just said, "Oh, Hare Krishna." And I said, "Oh, Hare Krishna." And he said, "Oh, where are you?" And I told him I was from the temple in Ottawa, which was 200 miles away. He said, "Oh, no problem. You need a place to stay? You can come stay at my place." So I stayed at his place. And the next day, I did the same thing in that town. But there were not many young people in that town. So I thought, "Oh, I'd like to go to this other town, which is about another 50 miles away. And it had a university." And the man said, "No problem. Tomorrow I'll drive you to the bus station. I'll give you the money to take the bus." So I took the bus to this other town, got off the bus, and I walked down to the university. And I just sat down on my chatter outside the exam hall where the students were writing exams. And they were just about to go in. And there were about 200-300 students about to go in to write their exams. And I just started chanting. And immediately two or three came over. "Hey, what are you doing?" You know, and I still had the Bhagavad Gita and a couple of Back to Godheads, and so I told them, and they said, "Oh, well, be here after we get out, because, you know, I'll take you to the vegetarian restaurant and we'll eat there." And it was the time of year when some students had already finished their exams and gone home, and they said, "And you can stay at our place." So I did that for the next 2 days. On the Thursday, I told them, "Look, tomorrow's Friday. I'll be going back to Ottawa probably on Saturday. Why don't we have a feast on Friday night?" And they said, "Okay." And so they gave me the Lakshmi, and I went out and I bought, stuff to make halva, chapatis, sabji, and nectar. And so then on the Friday night I cooked a feast, and I had to use a frying pan that I knew meat had been cooked in, but I was rolling chapatis with a ginger ale bottle. You know, they didn't have a rolling pin or anything, so I just was using a bottle, and I ended up making a feast, and they had invited a few more people over, and I think we had about 10 or 12 people for Sunday feast, and we had a kirtan, and I'd finished distributing my Back to Godhead magazines, and one person took the Bhagavad Gita. And the next day, they actually took me to the bus station and gave me the fare, and I got back to my other temple. So it was, Krishna just took care of the whole thing. It was amazing. So that's
thank you very, very much, Krishna.
Bravo!
I think when we look at Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami Prabhu, talking about this event, we we notice it must have been a very spiritually enlivening event. You don't speak about it as if it is a most dreadful moment in your life, you know, but you feel as you speak animated and with great transcendental happiness, as if you were relishing the event even 30 years later. So it's very... my dear devotees, when you actually surrender to Krishna, it will be one of your, what psychologists call, the liminal experience. It means at the border of your ordinary life. You will actually enter into a spiritual domain of Krishna's control. I don't advocate here that after your semesters in the Bhaktivedanta College, each one runs out into some forgotten place of Belgium to try to practice the art of surrender there. It has to come under Krishna's supervision. Obviously, to take a risk for Krishna remains one of the treasured techniques of brahmacharis and brahmacharinis, and also grihasthas who have the opportunity to do this. If you want your life to go fast, then take a risk for Krishna. Don't be afraid, but do it in a measurable way. Don't just challenge Krishna by doing something like jumping from a helicopter without a parachute on, you know, that's not what you say. Good, I thank you very much, Babuji. You have given color, life, and enthusiasm to our seminar, which needs a little life at this moment. Thank you very much. Now, a devotee who practices Atma Nivedanam is not very much concerned about public opinion. That's also one very necessary step. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was often found singing a verse from Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, which appears there in Padyavali, in the verse collection of Rupa Goswami, text 73. He's saying, Parivadhu. Parivadatu jano yata tatava nano mukaro navayam vicharayama hariha samadhira madati mata bhuvi vilutamo natamo nivishama. Let the garrulous populace. What is a garrulous populace? Garrulous means talkative, maybe? Speaking too much. Yeah. Let the prajalpalis populace say whatever they like. We shall pay them no regard. Thoroughly maddened by the ecstasy of the intoxicating beverage of love for Krishna, we shall enjoy life running about, rolling on the ground, and dancing in ecstasy. We don't mind what the people say. Yes. Now, for a surrendered soul, it is very important, this is the next point which I wanted to make, to accept whatever Krishna wishes. Many times in our lives, we see devotees and our own selves rebelling against the circumstances, pointing with fingers at the circumstances, saying, oh, you are the cause, my dear Prabhu and my dear environment, that I'm not so happy at this moment in Krishna consciousness. For if you want to practice surrender as in Atma Nivedana, then learn to accept what Krishna has arranged for you.
This is very important. Understand, the Lord has given you this. Don't always say, why, Lord, have you given me this? See, the difference between a bhakta and a karmi is that the karmi will complain and the bhakta will accept. We are ready to understand that Krishna must have had some purpose in giving me this situation which I have at the present moment. He has given this to me so that I can learn my lesson. There's a very famous verse where a devotee, the highest devotee in fact, expresses the unconditioned acceptance of Krishna's arrangement. You all know this verse. Ashlishyava pararatam pinashtumam adarshanam mamahatam karotuva yathatatava vidadatulam pato matrananatastu saivana para. Let Krishna tightly embrace this maidservant who has fallen at his lotus feet. Let him trample me or break my heart by never being visible to me. He is a debauchee after all and can do whatever he likes, but he is still no one other than the worshipable Lord of my heart. Prabhupada once said a devotee should be accepting, not that he says, oh, I don't like this circumstance which you have arranged, I will now get another Lord. Or I will be my own Lord. The devotee understands, this has been given to me by Lord Krishna. This is how he practices. And he will still go to Krishna. This is very nicely expressed in a verse by Rupa Goswami, which has been quoted by Srila Prabhupada in his purport to Srimad Bhagavatam 2.4.4, if you would like to make a note of this verse. The verse is very nice, and in order to understand it, you need to understand a little bit of the different birds in India. There is one bird which is called the thunderbird in English, and the chataka bird in Sanskrit. This bird only takes water directly from the clouds. He does not take water which has touched the ground and which is available from a puddle of water on the ground. This bird is so much in the desirous to only have this pure drinking water that even that he doesn't drink anything during the unrainy seasons. In the rainy seasons, he flies towards the cloud, and his bird call is something like Jaldehe, Jaldehe. Jaldehe means give water, give water, give water. Gluk, 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 gluk. Jalde, gluk, 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 jalde, he will say. And then drink from the water itself. Even when there is thunder in the cloud, the chataka bird will happily fly and avoid the flesh. She goes a little... drinks. This is also like what a devotee does. Even when the Lord is sometimes a little intense, and life is a little heavy, we will not go to the materialists. We will go to Krishna only as surrendered souls.
Vicharajamahidandam dinabandhu dayamiva gatihana bhavata kachiranyamamasti nipatatu shatakoti nibaram vanavamba tadapi kila payoda stuyate chatakena chatakena to chataka. O Lord of the poor, do what you like with me. Give me either mercy or punishment. But in this world, I have none to look to except your lordship. The Chataka bird always prays for the cloud, regardless of whether it showers rains or throws a thunderbolt. What a beautiful verse, isn't it? You want to note this, Yadu Nagpabhu? 244 it is. Such a nice prayer of a surrendered soul. The best example of surrender like this are two personalities which I want to read you about. First, I will talk about Srila Prabhupada being his disciple. We will make a little music so that we can No, it's in the other bag. This is my private music, and this is for seminars. This one. This prayer was written to Srila Prabhupada on September 17th in the year 1975, when he had just arrived in the city of Boston on board of the ship Jaladuta. It's a historic prayer where Prabhupada expresses his full surrender to the plan of the Lord. Okay, thank you, I will regulate it. The ship is just arriving. In Boston. Prabhupada is riding. My dear Lord Krishna, you are so kind upon this useless soul, but I do not know why you have brought me here. Now you can do whatever you like with me. But I guess you have some business here. Otherwise, why would you bring me to this terrible place? Absorbed in material life, these people think themselves very happy and satisfied, and therefore they have no taste for the transcendental message of Vasudev. I do not know how they will able to understand, but I know your causeless mercy can make everything possible, because you are the most expert mystic. And then after, Prabhupada talks about is the message of the Bhagavatam, which when heard brings people to a ruchi, to a taste. He says, somehow or other, O Lord, you have brought me here to speak about you. Now, my Lord, it is up to you to make me a success or failure. as you like. Only by your causeless mercy will my words become pure. I'm sure that when this transcendental message penetrates their hearts, they will certainly feel engladdened and thus become liberated from all unhappy conditions of life. O Lord, I'm just like a puppet in your hands. So if you have brought me here to dance, then make me dance. Make me dance, O Lord. Make me dance as you like. And he signed it in a very surrendered way. He said, the most unfortunate, insignificant beggar, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, on board the ship Jaladuta, Commonwealth Pier, Boston, Massachusetts, USA. He's actually, it's dated on the 18th of September. What a glorious example, isn't it? When you think about this in the context of also what Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami Prabhu. I'm saying your name properly, oh?
Krishna Das Kaviraj
Das. Aha. Hare Krishna. I want to soon do a concluding letter on exercise on Atmanivedana. You will be requested to write a letter to Krishna where you explain your surrender to him or your difficulties with surrender to him in a letter. But I want to give you first an example of a historic letter which was written by Rukmini to Krishna. I think you know Rukmini was promised to be married to Shishupal, who was a sworn enemy of Lord Krishna, actually. When Shishupal began to speak, the first word he said was an offense against Lord Krishna. He is like this, offense personified. You know, usually a child says, Mama, Papa, and he said something terrible about Krishna. So Rukmini didn't want to be married to Shishupal. In fact, she wanted to be married to Lord Krishna. Why Lord Krishna, you might say? Well, Rukmini had heard several times about Lord Krishna, from whom? Narad Muni. He had come to the palace of King Bhishmaka, where she was, and she had heard and thought, he is the best husband I can get, and wrote a love letter. It's nice to have some music in the background, then one can hear better. It is called, in educational terms, activating the right brain hemisphere. Yes, this is very good. And then she had a servant, a brahmana, his name was Vishwamitra, I found out his name now, who carried the letter to Lord Krishna in one night. This same brahmana, Vishwamitra, in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lila, was the marriage maker, Vanamali. he went to Mahaprabhu's mother and said, there's this very qualified daughter of one Vallabha Brahman, Vallabhacharya is his name, and I suggest a marriage with your son. Sachi Devi did not react very positively. She thought, my son is all into study, he has no mind for marriage. So when Vanamali left disappointed, Mahaprabhu came into the house and said, well, what did this Vanamali want? Oh, he had some marriage proposal. Oh, why didn't you listen to him? And in this way Mahaprabhu gave his consent. So you will now the same person, Vishvamitra, carried a letter by the Princess Rukmini. It's a very beautiful love letter. I hope our brahmacharis will. It's transcendental to brahmacharis, and so on. It's by an eternal associate of the Lord. We can all hear it without any problem. Imagine Rukmini sitting in her room writing this letter now. My dear Krishna, O infallible and most beautiful one, any human being who happens to hear about your transcendental form and pastimes immediately absorbs through his ears your name, fame and qualities. Thus, just by hearing about you, all his material pangs subside and he fixes your form in his heart. Through such transcendental love for you, he always sees you within himself, and by this process all his desires are fulfilled. Similarly, I have heard of your transcendental qualities. I may be shameless in expressing myself so directly, but you have captivated me and taken my heart. You may doubt my steadiness of character, since how could an unmarried young girl like me approach you without any shame? But my dear Mukunda, you are the supreme lion among human beings. You are the supreme person amongst persons. Any girl, though not yet having left her home, or even any woman of the highest chastity, would desire to marry you, being captivated by your unprecedented character, knowledge, opulence and position. I go a little bit fast. Now I belong to you. If that which is enjoyable for the lion to eat is taken away by the jackal, it will be a ludicrous affair. Therefore, I request you to immediately take care of me before I'm taken away by Shishupal and other princes like him. She says, they are jackals. My dear Lord, in my previous life, I may have done public welfare work like digging wells and planting trees, or pious activities such as performing ritualistic ceremonies and sacrifices and serving superiors like the spiritual master, brahmanas and Vaishnavas. By these activities, perhaps I have pleased the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan. If this be so, then I wish that you, Lord Krishna, the brother of Lord Balaram, please come here and catch hold of my hand so that I shall not be touched by Shishupal and his company. It's taken from Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now there was a difficulty for Rukmini. She knew that great demigods like Brahma and Shiva are not successful in seeing the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. How could she dare to become his wife in the face of these more qualified yet unsuccessful devatas? And she therefore says, Prabhupada says, she's prepared to be born many, many times again and again and perform a tapasya. Now, Rukmini stayed and went on her marriage day to the temple of Durga and to pray. When she came out, there were all the princes arrayed who had come in the company of Shishupal. These princes and kings were the rulers of the world. When they saw Rukmini, they fell from their elephants and horses because she was simply so beautiful. Can you imagine this? I think we cannot imagine this. We cannot imagine. So what happened? Rukmini went out of the temple and adjusted an ornament on her hand. While she adjusted the ornaments of the hand, she looked at everyone who was like, "Pang, crash! Ping, crush. Sorry, I fell upon you. Ping. Why did you fall on my head?" Well, this is not unusual. Beauty, Shishupal, is to be congratulated, said all his men. And so Rukmini looked, and all of a sudden, she saw Krishna on his chariot. She had never seen Krishna, but because she loved him, she knew this is Krishna. And Krishna, very, very slowly, he has a sense of drama, drove up to Rukmini. Prabhupada writes, Krishna, unconcerned with the other princesses, the princess, immediately took the opportunity to place Rukmini on his chariot, marked by a flag bearing an image of Garuda. He then proceeded slowly, without fear, taking Rukmini away exactly as a lion takes a deer from the midst of the jackals. Meanwhile, Balaram appeared on the scene with the soldiers of the Yadu dynasty. The princess said, "This is too much!" The king shouted, "Have you seen what he has done? He has kidnapped the wife of our king. This is too much!" And they armed themselves heavily and said, "War, war, a blood-drenched war!" Ran after Krishna. At this moment, when they were trying to come close to Krishna, Balaram went with his army, the Yadus, in between, like a block, and the arrows rained. Rukmini, at that time, Krishna said, "I have to now do a little Matati protection, and you ride the horses." And because Rukmini was a Chatriya lady, she rode the horses for Krishna, and Krishna turned around and it started to shoot at the demons, and so on. wonderful. I like this Leela very much. I just imagine Lord Krishna appearing there, smiling, taking Rukmini, his surrendered devotee, on his chariot, and just slowly going, maybe greeting the kings. I don't know what he did. He must have thoroughly smiled, his invincible smile, for which he is known as Smita Krishna, the smiling Krishna. And he must have thoroughly enjoyed. I mean, it's so good, the scene. It's so wonderful. So Rukmini later talks to all the women as a class, preaching to them heavily that they should also surrender to Lord Krishna. Do you want to hear what she says?